textbooks. Your tuition is free. Do you want to know the Bible better? Are you a Sunday school teacher, deacon, or a Christian seeking to know God's Word? Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our issue today is Holy War, the Pope versus the President. The Pope took the first punch, the President's punching back. Now there's demand for the President to apologize. He says, I don't have anything to apologize for. And I don't know about you, but I'm in full agreement with him. I would not apologize for something I've not done wrong. And by the way, when you look at the Bible in Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, the Bible says there's a time for everything. Let me just read a few verses. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. The Bible says there's a time of war. And you look throughout the Old Testament in particular, and you find wars and rumors of wars then. And God's Word says in the last days there'll be wars and rumblings of wars. So the Pope cannot use as an excuse that Trump is going to war. In fact, the Pope is one that is referred to as the Augustinian Pope. And if the Pope is the Augustinian Pope, that means the Pope should be cognizant of what St. Augustine, I use the term saint, he ain't. You go back and study Augustine's life. But St. Augustine had what was called the just war theory. Let me just give you a few points. In fact, there's not but 5 points. Its elaboration is lengthy, but it boils down to 5 points of what Augustine considered the just war theory. I'm using this to point out to you that Pope Leo is not what he claims to be. Pope Leo, in my opinion, you can get upset if you want to, is a fraud. Pope Leo wants to flex his muscles and make it view to millions in America that are supposedly Roman Catholic. By the way, listen carefully. You might say, well, all Catholics die and go to hell. Yes, unless they've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. You can't have the 7 sacraments that you claim under Roman Catholicism theology and claim those sacraments are going to get you to heaven. You can't do the 10 Hail Marys and the rosary beads and get you to heaven. You can't die as a heathen, go to limbo or purgatory, and have some priest be paid enough to pray you out of purgatory or limbo. You, when you die, you're either saved or lost. You either go into heaven or you go into hell. But any human being, whosoever will, may be saved. And it takes the volitional choice. But when it comes to the Augustinian just war theory, I'm looking at an article about that, and I boiled it down. Point number one is legitimate authority. Only public authorities, such as governments, have the right to declare war. Just cause. A war must be fought for a reason that is morally justified, such as the resistance of aggression and the protection of innocent lives. Right intention. The intention behind waging war must be to promote good and to avoid evil. Last resort. That's point number four. War should only be considered after all peaceful alternatives have been exhausted. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this, whether Trump realizes it or not, he's followed this pattern precisely. And fifthly, proportionality. The anticipated benefit of the war must outweigh the harm that it causes. And I can say kudos for each of these points that President Donald J. Trump has followed, and not even realizing he was following Augustine's just war theory. And yet Pope Leo says that he is, and it brags about the being the, that he is an Augustinian pope. That means he follows St. Augustine's theory of just war. But yet he is now plucking out of context and trying to criticize and demonize President Donald J. Trump. Now, listen very carefully. If the Pope, under Roman Catholicism, has for some time now been embracing Islam, having pacts, contracts, agreements, to, if you would call it that, reach across the aisle, and be unified as Islam and Roman Catholicism, that means that he must dislike and disapprove of anything that will be the protection of the Jewish nation called Israel, the apple of God's eye, reconstituted after 2,500 years of diaspora into a nation born back into society, 1948. Ladies and gentlemen, Islam is adamantly opposed to the Jew. Islam is adamantly opposed to any person on the face of the globe that is a Christian, that is a Jew, or a non-Muslim. The point of Islam is submission, to bring under the authority and control. And that is an attempt through the Roman Catholic, if you please, bishopry and the popery system coming out of the Holy See in Rome, that's wanting to embrace every aberrant origin out there in order to bring it under the umbrella of Roman Catholicism. I read just a moment ago some of the points in relationship to the Catholic Muslim. It's called the Catholic Muslim Dialogue Initiative that was set up and started by Pope Paul the Sixth, and it continues in the later popes with Pope John Paul II, Benedict, etc., etc., and it's summarized in the key points that I just read a moment ago. But let me touch on two or three of those points again. This is Islam and Roman Catholicism under the popery system with a compact, a contract, a dialogue agreement. How can you do that if Roman Catholicism is Christian, biblically speaking? How can you have a dialogue, discussion, and compact with the Islamics, which do not serve the same God? For example, in this compact agreement with Roman Catholicism and Islam, affirms respect for Muslims who worship one God. They do not worship God. They worship Allah, a false, phony God, not the creator, controller of the universe, not the God that supposedly Roman Catholicism worships. Common declaration of the Pope for the papal agreement, Muslim summit, affirms belief in one God, shared moral values, etc., prompted increase in the Catholic agreement with the Muslim scholars. The Muslim scholars and the Catholic scholars, for example, emphasize shared love for God, etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a farce, phony aspect of it, which is a demonic appeal to try to bring together the unified one-world church after the rapture of the church. And the church, the bride of Christ, is snatched out of this old world. In fact, you go to Revelation, the 17th chapter, and you find what the Bible calls the great whore church, the mother of all whore churches, the scripture says. And if you read the 17th chapter of Revelation, you find that that church, and it's after the rapture, after the, it's during the midpoint of the tribulation that you see this coming about and being addressed. That is absolutely what is taking place today with Roman Catholicism trying to embrace the other religions. Ladies and gentlemen, you go back to the wicked, evil if you please, roots of Roman Catholicism and the Crusades and what was taking place then. In fact, a number of years ago, back in the 80s, I was doing a radio broadcast call-in very similar to what we're doing now. And we talked about what was taking place. And somebody called in and was chiding, said, "You're Christian. It's the Christians. You guys had the Crusades. Look what you did." I said, "Wait, wait, wait. Which Crusade? Which event?" After the Islamics almost controlled all in the Holy See, and finally the Roman Catholic side, we're going to fight back because of that. Is it under Pope Urban the 10th, 11th? Which one? What are you talking about? Which Christian, Roman Catholicism, that was defending themselves coming back against the Islamics? Ladies and gentlemen, we find today there's a mindset that somehow, some way, you can embrace evil, you can embrace wicked, you can embrace that which sounds palatable in order to build the kingdom, if you please, the large group, the large organization that's called Roman Catholicism today. It is, by the time you read Revelation 17, Roman Catholicism and Islam are married and is domiciled out of the city on seven hills, which you can ask any secular, any religious historian, and the city on seven hills is always, always in history, past and present, referring to Rome. And we find the Bible as major condemnation for that church, the great whore, the apostate church of that day. I'm looking at an article that says, President Trump says, here's what bothers me with all this nonsense. President Biden, this is what Trump said, President Biden professed to, not Trump, but this is writing about it. President Biden, being a devout Catholic himself, he said, and yet he used his administration to advance medical mutilation surgeries and killing unborn children. He unleashed the FBI on pro-life Catholics. Agents broke down doors and stormed private residences and even arrested pro-life grandmothers who prayed outside abortion clinics. The FBI also tried to infiltrate Catholic churches across the nation, tried to recruit priests to spy on their congregation. Where was the Vatican then? Where was the courage then? Where was the willingness to stand up then? Where was the condemnation then? Why was there nothing but silence then? And so all due respect to Pope Leo the Woke, spare me the indignation of what Trump is doing, this particular writer said. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, there's a need to recognize what is at fault here and what is taking place. May I say it goes back to the love of M-O-N-E-Y. Pope Leo is trying to defend his position because he would love to have open borders. He would love to have the Roman Catholic Church still be the largest recipient as an NGO of billions of dollars to house and to feed, to clothe, and to provide for the illegal invaders coming in. In fact, J.D. Vance recently converted to Roman Catholicism. Here's what Vance said. I certainly think that in some cases it would be better for the Vatican to stick to matters of morality and let the President of the United States stick to dictating American public policy. I say amen, and I second J.D. Vance's statement on that. But again, it boils down to what I believe is taking place through the Pope and his background of being a rank liberal, politically speaking. I believe that he's trying to canker the voters' mind against President Trump for the 2024 election process. I don't believe it is anything more or less than that. Should any conservative, Christian, or patriot stand with a religious organization and leader that worships Mary rather than Jesus Christ? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe there's a question that ought to be answered. Is Roman Catholicism to be saved, to go to heaven, to obey what Jesus Christ says, what the Word of God says, or to follow some... Listen, I'm asking this because it sets for the integrity, the mindset, the theological bent of the Pope and what he's saying and doing. Perhaps you know, perhaps you've been there. Perhaps you're saved today because you said yes to Jesus Christ, but perhaps you came out of Roman Catholicism and the quagmire of the weird thinkings and the unusual, unbiblical beliefs that get you to heaven. For example, in Roman Catholicism, perhaps you've never heard this before, in Roman Catholicism, to get to heaven, there's seven sacraments that you must embrace. Seven sacraments. Number one is baptism. Now, once we say yes to Jesus Christ, we need to be baptized. But in Roman Catholicism, at infancy, you're sprinkled, and it's called baptism. So that's first step number one. Then at about 12 years old, you're to be confirmed in the Roman Catholic Church. So baptism, confirmation, the Eucharist, we call it the Lord's Supper, they call it the Eucharist, because in Roman Catholicism, when you partake of the bread and the cup, you're literally taking on holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That cup and that bread literally transforms itself once it goes into your mouth to become taking on the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, thus becoming more holy. Penance, that is reconciliation, that is paying penance. But in fact, you go back centuries ago in the Roman Catholic Church, much of the great Holy See today is built out of the poor people that bowed, bent, and adhered to Roman Catholicism, that they were paying for penance. They would pay for indulgences. You can pay the priest so much and go out and live like the devil this week, come back next week and pay the priest again, and buying indulgences. That's called paying for penance. Anointing the sick. That is when a person is on his deathbed, the priest will come in and anoint him with the holy oil that will guarantee going to heaven. Holy orders. That is following the rules, the regulations, the guidelines of Roman Catholicism, not following biblical truth, biblical theology, biblical doctrine. Matrimony, marriage. So, ladies and gentlemen, these sacraments are considered necessary. Listen, not just optional, but obligatory, necessary, if a person is going to go to heaven in Roman Catholicism. Now, my Bible says that it is our faith and trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, Christ alone. He is the centrality of the gospel of the Bible. It is the death, burial, and the resurrection of the soon coming again. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and our faith and trust in Him. It is necessary, biblically speaking, to believe in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection to be saved. That's not required. That's not expected in Roman Catholicism. And yet we see most of the anchors today on Fox News, most of those in the public arena today are Roman Catholics, and they believe that somehow, some way, adhering to and aligning with a major global denomination like that, that somehow, some way, that will make them have greater power, respect, and recognition. It does not from the Christian viewpoint. My opinion, you can reject it if you like, my opinion, unless a person says yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, and my opinion is based on biblical doctrinal theological truth, unless that person says yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Mary won't do it. 10 Hail Marys won't do it. Being in a Roman Catholic Church and bowing to the priest or the Pope will not do it. And yet the Pope's position, based on Catholic theology today, is that he is the vicar of God. And when he speaks, it is God speaking through him. And that is totally unbiblical. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article where Trump says, I won't apologize to the Pope. This article dated the 13th. President Trump met with the reporters Monday outside the Oval Office to address several topics. After asked about his sharp criticism, Pope Leo on Truth Social about the pontiff's stand against the war in Iran, President Trump said he would not apologize to the Pope. Quote, Pope Leo said things that were wrong. He was very much against what I am doing with regard to Iran. And you cannot have a nuclear Iran, and the Pope would not be happy with the results. Hundreds of millions of people would be dead. President Trump is talking about the reality. If we had not entered into a war to eviscerate the Iranians with any possible future of nuclear weapons. He says the first question to the president, however, dealt with the picture he posted on Truth Social portraying him as a Jesus-like figure. It caused quite a stir among conservative Christians, some of whom called it blasphemous and urged him to take it down, which he did. The president also gave his explanation, quote, I thought it was me as a doctor. I saw it as me as helping people and making people better. Now that's Trump's. You might say, well, that's a little naive. Yes, but that's President Trump's view on what we talk about today in Christian theology and Christian doctrine, etc., etc. I'm looking at an article that's from the Catholic Voice online. There's no doubt that President Trump's post insulted Pope Leo and cross the line, a line of decorum that plays an important part in democracy and diplomacy and sets the temperature for interactions between the two, calls for an apology. And the Catholic Voice, this document, thinks that apology is necessary from President Trump. Telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Does President Trump owe the Pope an apology? That's my question. Love to hear from you. Who was wrong? Who is right? Should a foreign nation, and the Vatican is treated as another nation, as a foreign nation, does that national leader have the authority, have the right, have the privilege to come into America and by a television camera and microphone chide, condemn, and confront the President of the United States with what he's doing to protect the United States of America? I say not. I don't know your position. I don't know your thoughts on it, but I say not. I'm looking at an article that kind of summarizes different people and how they would think about what has happened. It says, if you're a Catholic, the Pope's teachings on faith and morals carry serious weight. If you're not a Catholic, you can treat the Pope like any other global leader and moral thinker. Goes further. The bottom line, you're not required to accept any papal input into American foreign affairs. Let me read that statement again. The people are not required to accept any papal, that's popery, input on the American foreign affairs. Now, for what this writer calls progressive Catholics, tend to embrace papal statements on peace, immigration, and global justice. More likely to see his comments as very necessary, more correction to political power and confront political power. Listen, the Pope has no authority to confront political power in the United States of America. Now let's just do a little trickle-down footnote on all that I've said. As Christians, do we have the authority to say anything about political process? Absolutely. As Christian pastors, do we have the authority biblically to speak up, stand up against anything that is done unbiblical, unholy, and wrong from our national, local, or state leaders, politically speaking? Absolutely. But it is not from the standpoint of a unified single voice that supposedly represents 1.4 billion people around the globe and take that position with a bully pulpit, and you be the one to cast the first stone, if you please, as the Pope did against President Donald J. Trump. Let me go back to M-O-N-E-Y, wrap up on the thoughts. During the course of the open borders with Joe Biden, NGOs, non-government organizations, were set up to find housing, to provide food, to provide telephones, to provide money in the pockets, and all other material needs of the immigrants, the illegal immigrants coming into America. The Roman Catholic Church was the greatest, largest, deepest pocketed NGO on the face of the globe, receiving hundreds of billions of dollars of tax money to pay for the food, clothing, and shelter and the needs of the illegal invaders. This is the reason today in the blue cities and the blue states, the mayors and the governors in those cities and states want to continue to shelter and to protect and provide for, out of tax money, those that are illegal invaders coming multitudes out of Islamic backgrounds. That's what the Pope is embracing. That's what the Pope sees as being an element of undermining his authority and papal directive for those that are in the NGO process. By the way, just a little parenthetical footnote, Youngblood footnote. I disagree 100% with any religious organization, church, denomination, or otherwise, becoming an NGO to accept federal tax dollars to, in some way, undermine the process of protecting American borders with the illegal invaders coming in. And many of the denominations, Baptist denominations including, became NGOs accepting billions of dollars in order to fund the food, clothing, and shelter. And by the way, for each dollar coming in, about 60 to 80% of that would go into the leadership pockets of those running the NGOs. with pennies almost trickle down going into the pockets of those coming in. But that's the bottom line. It's the M-O-N-E-Y, and I believe it should be understood. It's my personal view, ladies and gentlemen, in summary of what we've said, it's my personal view, what we're seeing today is a little snapshot, a little portrait of what I believe the future holds for this whole world. Revelation, the 13th chapter, talks about the Antichrist. Throughout the scripture, he's called the man of sin, the son of perdition, the wicked one, the lawless one, the little horn, the beast, the dragon, the old serpent, the devil and Satan himself, the Antichrist. Revelation 13 talks about the Antichrist. Revelation 13 talks about the Antichrist coming on the scene, and that's right after the rapture of the church. He'll step on the global scene, and he'll want to perform peace. And the Bible says that he will have a mortal wound. The Bible says the false prophet, his sidekick, the religious sidekick of the Antichrist, will raise the Antichrist from the dead, and they will perform signs, miracles, and wonders, and cause the whole world to follow after the Antichrist. It records that in Revelation 13, verses 11 and following. I believe without any doubt, we're watching the coming on the scenes. Now, this Pope may not be the one, but my most humble personal opinion, and you can disagree, I believe this, we're witnessing the last Pope on the popery scene. And this last Pope could very well be the false prophet, the sidekick of the Antichrist when he steps on the scene. And the Antichrist, according to Daniel chapter 11, will be a Islamic homosexual that will be empowered by Satan himself. Now, if that's not a treat for the listeners today, nothing would be. So we need to be very, very careful what we embrace, who we embrace, and what is embraced based on what is taking place in society today. Trump is not in the wrong. Trump is in the position that he should be in. Here's a headline. Trump blast weak on crime. Terrible Pope Leo. President Donald Trump sharply criticized Pope Leo in a fiery post on Truth Social, the platform for the pontiff condemning the U.S. war in Iran. Trump's message came after a series of increasingly direct criticism from the Pope first, who in recent days denounced the conflict and called an end to the fighting. Speaking at the Vatican prayer vigil, the Pope urged world leaders to reject the violence, declaring enough to the war, and warning against, he described, the idolatry of self and glorification of the military powers. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you've been challenged today, that we'll look up, lift up our heads, and recognize our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and